Good morning, and welcome to Avalon Community Church, our 10:30 service. If you're visiting the island, welcome to Catalina. If you're a first-timer, and if you're coming back, it's that time of the year, welcome back. This little gem out here in the Pacific Ocean. We love Catalina. Who loves Catalina? Isn't it beautiful? And to be able to do church here and to do life here, it is a privilege. It is fun, and it is stressful. All of the above. We'll get into that. Right now, though, just want to finish my greeting to say, hey, if you're visiting today and you're going to hang out for a little while on the island, even if you're seasonal, there's a visitor card. Fill it out. Some of our new zip guides are here this morning. We want to know you. We want to be able to invite you to dinner and other things. This is very simple, just your name and email, and that'll let us know how we can. And you can find out what we're doing, like all this cool guy stuff and girl stuff going on with small groups meeting during the week. There's a program possibly for you that maybe go a little deeper, maybe God's Word. You want to study God's Word, go a little deeper. Throughout the week, there's programs in here. And this is what that part looks like. If you'd like to be in that little skit team, which is just getting off the ground, there's ministry signups. And that's what this one looks like right here. It has our vision on there and just opportunities. Child care is always a need. Our kids program is growing, and parents want to alternate. They want to come up to the service, and they want some help. And that's true of all ministries. There's always a child care need. Please let us know if you're interested. This right here is a great way, or you can just see one of our staff after church. Last but not least, very important going on right now in our community. We have, I think it's next week, being taught at the Herps home. Total Money Makeover here. This is Dave Ramsey's study, and the Herps are hosting it at their house. Starts next week in the evenings on Sunday, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. Grab that, because this is a great time of the year as things start to settle, that tax returns come in. Right now, media.org, our church has put this resource out for all of you, even visitors. This is big for us to be able to offer this for free. A great resource loaded with teachings, loaded with free videos, loaded with music. This is a family resource. It's a teen resource. It's a young adult resource. No matter what stage of life you're in, our guys are looking at the Living Generously series, and it's offered on this bulletin. You'll see it on your way out today. On Right Now Media, it focuses on generosity. In our earlier service, they do a generosity series right now, and we would love for you to be a part of it, following it along on rightnowmedia.org. is the way to do it. This is a great resource. Our pastoral team is using this big time. And sometimes you see a video playing during the service. You're like, where did that come from? How can I get my hands on that? That was very effective. I'd like to use that in my small group. Rightnowmedia.org has a lot of these resources. Those are some of the announcements, some of the things that are going on. And it sounds a little busy, doesn't it? Sounds like things are moving, right? I know for me, I have 4 meetings going on today. And you know what? As I was looking up here at the gentleman that was kind of yelling from the back, hey, make sure you clean the garage and get your life straightened out. I've got some straightening out to do for myself. And quite honestly, after Memorial Day, life for me and for you, especially when those cruise ships are rolling in, could never be busier. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, it's not an evil thing. You've always heard, you know, make hay while the sun shines, right? You know, take advantage of the busyness now because February's coming type thing. I've lived here long enough to understand how the ebb and flow of weather creates a weariness on the island. Our chamber has done a great job in making sure, out for bid, we get as much cruise ship activity going on here. We have businesses that are booming as a result. But life starts to change. And so this series came out of, quite honestly, something beautiful. But I've got to be honest with you, I haven't always been excited about this. And this is going to take a personal hit to me. My wife knows this more than anybody. Because when we first started thinking about this, I was going to be teaching it. The whole credibility factor kicked in. Because I got to hand it to you. Some of you guys got this down, but I do not. And as coaching season moves in, and there's demands in the afternoon, there's stuff in the morning, there's sermon prep, there's counseling needs, there's ministry needs throughout the week of the programs we do in the evening. dinners, things like that, it catches up with me. And I started feeling very inadequate. I'm, you know, even having a hard time because simplifying my own life has been an issue. And I really felt God pushing me to say, hey, this is part of a larger situation. This isn't just you. And so we put that out there in the last several days, and people have responded already. It's kind of tough living with your own medicine, you know, the stuff that comes in. Before I deliver it to you, I don't like my medicine. I'd rather give it out than consume it myself. And God's word's very clear in a loving way to help us get this stuff in direction. So in order to teach with integrity, I need to begin by admitting I am a fellow struggler at this. Are you guys tracking with me? All right. I've said it at least a half a dozen times. The whole idea of simplifying my life, your life. I think it's official to do it this way. Hi, my name is Andrew. I am a hurried life-aholic. Going strong even today. One person who's been to a program and hundreds more who actually should. And we'll find out more today what that's like. Question. Okay. If you were to tell the truth about your life, what would you say about your life? Would you say that, A, you're too busy, too tired, too rushed, or would you say that you're always in a hurry? Actually, let's make this personal. Let's make it simple. Raise your hand if you know a friend who might need this series. Perfect. Okay. We've all got kinds of friends, right, need this kind of stuff. What I want to do is start by giving you a little formula. And this is where I'm sitting right now. Actually, this is for my personal journal stuff. I've created this to help us step back and take a look and understand how complicated our busy lives are. I literally am forced to deal with this right now more than just about any task that's in front of me. It is not really something on the to-do list. It's critical. It's critical mass, man, for my marriage, as a father, as an employer, employee, whatever it may be, in your kingdom, in your world where you work, and those underneath your authority, they're relying on you to get this right. So I came up with this little formula. I want to do an honest evaluation to say, why are we more like the Tasmanian devil than we are like Jesus? Okay? And I put in your notes, and if you look at your notes, you should have a copy here, and you can draw all over this thing. Take notes, because there's a lot of stuff that's not written there, and should be some space for you to fill in. But I would circle the word culture. Circle that if you would. Culture is where I live. It says that underneath. In our current culture, time is a more valuable commodity than money. You agree? Yeah, time is king. Money's important, but time is king. We live in an era, generation, where we have more time-saving devices. Okay? Hold up your cell phone for me if it's close. Don't go digging if you don't. Close, hold it up, all right? You can do anything with that. I mean it. It's almost like you're Dr. Evil. You can rule the world, all right? Check email, print things. Some larger churches actually have a way of controlling the lighting with their phones. Pastors can control the lighting up in here and stuff like that. It's wild. You can do just about anything. And it just seems like we've forgotten how far and how fast these things have come. I mean, I can even take pictures and videos and send them overseas, keep up with my son's life, even though he's on the East Coast, going up to Nova Scotia right now, just track his life, follow along, have a normal conversation like he's next to me. It just blows my mind. Those of us that have come from the past have seen in the last 10 years, really, how quickly things have progressed. But it wasn't that long ago when mail traveled on horseback, and it took months to arrive in places. My great-grandfather was a circuit pastor, and he worked for a Methodist church, the little white churches in Tennessee, and would travel by colt to areas where churches would kind of be in this small area, no roads really coming in, or they were washed out. Travel by colt and do a message here, and then travel to the next one and give four messages a Sunday. This little white building with a wrought iron potbelly stove to warm it in the middle, and the people would gather. And mail would take, you know, several weeks by Zeke coming in with his low belly by horseback coming in. and I look and see how quickly things have moved forward, man, you just don't miss a beat. So why is it that with all these luxuries and technology, time-saving devices, I mean, how quickly I even look at the words come up on the screen for us to do a song here. Why is it with things so progressed, so prosperous, therapists' offices are always full? Okay? Unreal. If we have 10 times more material abundance than our ancestors, why are we not 10 times more content, more fulfilled? I mean, it would stand to reason, right? In reality, in fact, we're less fulfilled than we were. Folks, something is drastically wrong. Okay? I start with me, but it's wrong with the culture that is producing people like us. Granted, you came to Catalina to make a living, but for those of you who are locals and have been here for a number of years, I guarantee you that was not the primary reason you moved here. Amen? Some of you, it's the water. Just when you get off the express boat, do you still look left and right on the ramp and get amazed at the Garibaldi and how clear it is, right? I'm sure that drew you in. Some of you, it was the interior, right off the bat, just the wild, untamed, uncivilized California, left in its original condition. Take a pen, if you would, and draw an arrow from culture to character. Culture to character. Character is who you are. And that is the point where you take a little bit of personal time out and you ask the question, who have I become as a result of culture? And if you're honest, and if you realize you've become preoccupied with trying to do more stuff in less amount of time, and I'm just pouring myself out here on this paper, that we have become more crazy and people who don't have time for deep and genuine, authentic relationships, that we've become so filled with noise, we can't stand it when it's quiet. We become people who take success and make it synonymous with busyness. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, keeping busy? Yeah, I'm keeping busy. Way to go. You're doing good, you know? We even ask somebody, staying busy? Good. Good for you. That's kind of the way we greet each other. How you doing? Oh, I'm staying busy. Awesome. That's what life is like. Those two Cat Express pictures. You guys know the feeling, right? Especially when the boats are coming in and you see how many are on them, or you go to E Catalina, I think it is, and check and see how many boats are due, how many cruise ships are coming in. The pace of culture affects our character. Not long ago, I was over on the mainland, and I had just a day trip. I was moving some equipment to the barge. Need to get it over here. This is just recently. And I went over and I hit up a Chick-fil-A. And I pulled into the parking lot and a lady backed in. And this was your standard issued white Chevy Suburban for most OC ladies over there, okay, that they drive. And we, you know, so she backed in, I pulled in. We both opened our door not knowing who was going to get out first. You ever had that kind of a deal? Both opened the door at the same time and the doors touched. All right? And I'm like, they didn't scratch, they didn't dent, but the doors did touch. And I mean, she got out and was lit. I mean, it was, I heard everything you could hear. Okay? Not just the F-bomb, but the A through Z bomb. Everything you can imagine she dropped on me. And I was like, ma'am, I don't see anything here. If there is a dent, I will be happy to pay for it. Pick a time out, you know? And then I ended with, I'm sorry. She just got in her car, slammed the door, and pulled out. I think she waved to me. She had tinted windows. I did see her hand. I'm not exactly sure. But I sat there, and I just sat there going, this is L.A. County. And this is O.C. You know, we got boats coming from both. This is the stressed-out community that we live in. You know, I'm used to my car getting dented. I mean, as a 25-year youth pastor and all the stuff, I mean, it's been egged and caution taped and pumpkined and shaving creamed. You know, I'm not fighting it. But I sat back and I just go, my gosh, this, what does chaos look like specifically? And I was a little confused here. But I'd like to go back to our outline, if you would, and an arrow from character to the word chaos. Draw an arrow from the word character to chaos. Because literally things are just sometimes get out of control, and it's how I live. You might not use the word chaos. Maybe use the word busy, okay, or overwhelmed. There you go. Throw that in there. Frantic, frenzied, like this lady was. I just chose chaos because there's an equation to chaos. And it looks something like this, okay? Where I live, that is not my house, is it? Convince me that's not my house. But this is a very typical dorm room. College students, you know exactly where I'm coming from. And a high school, some of my varsity soccer players, this is exactly what their room looks like. I'm not going to mention whose it is. But where I live, plus my job, plus how many kids I have, okay? Or if you're a student, how many classes you're taking. Tracking with me? Okay. Or how many credit cards I have, plus how many things I say yes to equals the chaos quotient. Many of us in here are living a chaotic life, okay? What does chaos look like specifically? Let me go through some things on what chaos looks like specifically. All right, now you're tracking with me here, okay? First thing is it looks like clutter. That's the first thing chaos looks like, clutter. Some of you wives are looking at your husbands right now. Do not do that, okay? We talked about this yesterday. Focus, people, okay, in your personal life right here. Or we're going to have some fights before you even get out of the building here, okay? But if you were to go home and look up the word clutter in the dictionary, all right, you would see a picture of yourself. Most likely, I don't care how organized you think you are, there are areas and there are pockets. My clutter is just organized looking. That's all it is. It's a little pocket, but it's just, it's all there. But I make it look like it's got no boundaries. I try, Michael, I try. But it's a mess, okay? Because we're always on the move. And we have our excuses, whatever it may be. But quite honestly, what I've done to shove these things and move these things, the drawers, the closets, the garage, you know, someone looked at me and just said, Andrew, you know, hey, what you need is a storage organizer. And I don't. I need a storage or garage exorcist. I need someone to come in and just clean it out, kick it out. I need all of it. I keep everything. My wife recently was saying to me when we came back from Florida, are you seriously with all those boxes of your high school and college trophies and plaques and certificates? Why are you hanging on to those things? And I'm just like, oh, you know, whatever. She's like, what are you doing? You know? I'm like, oh, I'm saving it for the kids. And she's, they don't give a rip about that stuff. You know, why are you holding on to those boxes? Let's do a little mass confession, all right? As I go through these, half of our church grew up Catholics anyway. You'll love mass confession. So here we go, okay? Who's got clutter? Raise your hand. Almost everybody. All right. Okay, you're not alone. Obviously, you can see that. That's the great thing about church. You're not alone. But that's not just clutter. Here we go. Addiction to speed. Okay, I'm not talking about the drug. Do not vote yet. Okay, that's all fast. What? You don't even need to describe this one. Okay, people are flying through this. These are the people who are on speed, so to speak. They're addicted to speed. All the people who talk fast, everything's got to go fast. They even listen fast. And when they're listening to you, it's like, hurry up, land the plane, get there, all right? Hurry up, speed it up. They'll even finish the sentence for you. They hate to wait for anything, okay? These are the people down at Vons that literally are getting close to the register, and they size up how many items they have in their cart and look to see who is the checkout person. And you know the one I'm hinting about right now, all right? You know her, and you know what I'm talking about. And then they look to see who they're next to in line, and they trade lines. And they're trading lines, and then they get up to the counter, and they look and see, did I beat that other person? Yes! Type thing. You know you do it. You know you do it. I do it. And all I wanted was like a stick of gum or something. But, you know, it's like, oh, moving forward. You're looking. It's that way, okay? How many did I just describe? Raise your hand. Perfect. Speed. Perfect. Okay, good. We're still together. How about this one under chaos? Multitasking. Yes. You know what multitasking is. Multiple things at once, like driving your golf cart and shaving your legs, ladies, as you're driving, watching television and on the internet and having a conversation all at the same time, putting your makeup on and feeding your cat at the same time, whatever, okay? Listening to a sermon while reading the announcements, getting on your cell phone, making reservations for lunch. Some of you are texting it right now, okay? After the service, multitasking. Multitaskers, raise your hand. And you are not alone. 3/4 of the room, the rest are clueless right now. Okay, some of you are getting tired of raising your hands. And I'd give you a break. Because the next few are going to be a little more embarrassing to admit, but I still want you to write them down, okay? It's not on your outline. But another sign of chaos is superficiality. Big, long word, superficiality. You stay on the surface with people because hurry is the enemy of depth. And when writing this, and I speak into my phone, and then I put that in an email, and then I print all this stuff out, and when I do a sermon, my thoughts, and I'm just thinking, how superficial can I be with people sometimes? Because I'm in a hurry. Okay? Dave asked me earlier. Where's Dave? Is he even in here? Okay, Dave asked me earlier. Hey, Andrew, I want to show you some video after the service. And I know he looked me right between the eyes. He's a Jedi. Looked right between the eyes. And he could see, oh, I have a meeting right after the service. And I have a 3 o'clock dinner thing with the coaches thing in People's Park. My mind's just going. He's like, I just want to show you a video. Are you here? You know? Yeah, I'm being real. My mind was doing that, and I'm superficial as a result. I become very shallow, so shallow that I don't think, you know, rush and hurry is even impacting me, but I'm superficial. That's the deal, okay? Another descriptor of chaos is what I call relationship fatigue. Those are the best words I can come up with. The fatigue is when you have no time for those that are closest to you, okay? I mean, the ones that mean the world to me. I'm too drained. I'm too tired. Physically, I'm worn out. Teachers know right where I'm coming from. Emotionally, mentally, they're exhausted. They come home, just one thing, boom, can set them off if it's not the right thing. Preoccupied. Instead, they're the ones oftentimes, even though they're hard workers, they're the often ones that are getting cheated. And you get their emotional table scraps. You know what I mean. In the back of your mind, there's a song going on, the cat's in the cradle, the silver spoon, right? Relationship fatigue drives you nuts. I didn't want to put the album up there. You know the song. I don't care what age you are. You've heard the song. Oh, it just gets you, right? Because you're going, the kids are growing up. My life is moving forward. Another one that concerns me, actually they all concern me, but as a pastor, I'm concerned about this one, and it's huge, spiritual emptiness. And those, once again, are my only two words for it. They're empty, and this is where there's no time, there's no emotional energy to sit down with your copy of Scripture. Some have them on their phones, and I realize that, or a tablet. You can't read, you can't reflect, you can't consider how God might be wanting to talk to you, guide you, and lead you. Let me tell you something. You're in your young 20s. You better write this down, highlight it, circle it, memorize it, plaster it on your forehead. This is huge. If you're running empty and you're wanting to hear from God, something has got to change about your posture. I'm telling you, I've been there. You want to hear from God. If everything is a go and the switch is always on and you can be reached at any given moment of the day by someone else other than God, you're going to have a hard time knowing what's my next step. What does it look like? What's the transition look like for me? Is he the right one? Is she the right one? Is this the job? Do I go to Catalina? How long do I stay there? Is this my major? Do I drop this guy? Drop this major? Big questions. Some of which are not really dictating the course of your life anyway. It might just be, do I get up right now? Or do I call in? Do I sip this? Pop this? Huge, life-changing, game-changing decisions that on a smaller scale are really what's dictating the course of your life. God is speaking, constantly wanting to get in touch. Don't stay empty. Where's your spiritual life? And is it malnourished? Is it starving? Spiritually, are you empty? And in a moment of complete honesty, as you look at some of the things I've talked about, is there anybody in here who just wishes they could pull back on the throttle just a little bit? You've been in such a fast pace. you know, just literally cracking up at the RPMs, you'd just like to pull back a little bit, re-examine your life. Is there anybody at all here whom that describes? Feel free to raise your hand on that one. Yeah, I'm there. Okay. I want to take these first few steps. Take your pen and put an X through chaos. Just cross out chaos. Say, I don't want to live like that. And then draw a little arrow from there over to Christ-like. So from that X, I want to do this. Great verse. Let's look at it. Matthew 11, 28. Christ simply says it like this. And man, it's not my word. Thank goodness the Savior, who was just as busy. I mean, ministry was almost 24 hours a day for this guy. And he says this, come to me. Who loves those three words? Oh, man. Let's close in prayer. I'm just kidding. All right? Right? You know it. Let's just park there for a minute. But I'm going to move on. But you park there when you need it. Okay? Come to me. He's asking you to come. Okay? All of you who are tired carrying heavy loads, I'm going to give you rest. And if you just raised your hand saying, I want a pace change, Jesus says, come to me. You're tired, man. I'm seeing it. Let me give you rest. My way will lead to rest. If you follow God's way, God wants to simplify your life. He doesn't want us to live life with a throttle all the way to the ground. He can simplify your life. As a matter of fact, you study the life of Jesus, take a look, and it's on your outline, at what he still had time for. Even though it was constant crowd, all the time. Deep relationships. Rest, even on a boat during a storm. Influence. Need I say more? Quiet time. You look in the Gospels and it's constantly, and Jesus withdrew, and Jesus withdrew. Into a mountain, onto a boat, onto the lake, walking on a beach. Good example there. Greatness. Okay? In that order, God made him great. And then, of course, time with his dad. Time with his father. What's the plan? Where would you like for me to go? Am I doing it? What's happening here? The dove comes down. This is my son. He has got it going on. I am pleased. Constant talking with his father. And he had time for God. And some of you will say, yeah, but that was like 2,000 years ago, man. Today's different. Hold on. Today's different, Andrew. Put me on hold. Are you telling me that Jesus didn't have a lot to do? Are you telling me that his plate wasn't full? You try being the Savior of the world. Big commitment. Yet Jesus, in a short window of time, and when I wrote this in my own journal, I realized he accomplished this incredible task. He didn't sacrifice anything from that list. That's why we're still talking about the real thing today and keeping the main thing the main thing. Jesus did it. He navigated all of it. That's why we go to him. And he says, come. I know you're tired. I will give you rest. Come. Okay? The reason I put boxes in your notes, if you look at your outline, these little checkoff boxes, that I've done that in my notes, and I've checked them off. I've circled them. I've bolded them. I put a little cartoon face next to one of them. You don't believe me? Right there. Okay. A little cartoon face. Okay. Do I want that in my life? Okay. And I've checked these things off, bolded them. These are the ones that I want. Another place, though, says, do you want them in your life? And it's either an absolutely yes, I want that, or no, that stuff's overrated. I'm a driver. I'm a doer. You don't understand the company I've got. It's got momentum right now. It's that time of the year. I need to move forward. I don't get any of that stuff. Well, the pace that I'm living is the pace that's going to lead me to success. Ought to be your quote. Because that's the deal. The pace you're living is going to be the pace you have for success. Some of you just moved to the island within 2 weeks. You're brand new. Are you listening to me? Zip guys, you listen to me? You just got here. Some of you are just in transition between jobs. Set the pace right. Look at the employer in the face and say, I have to have a Sabbath. I've got to have a day with my God and a day with my family. I want to work. I will be your hardest worker. You won't get a better worker than when I'm more focused. And I can't be focused if these things are out of whack. I dare you to say that. Because if he fires you, thank God. If he doesn't hire you, for the better. Because what is it going to gain you to have that job and all those hours and lose and have chaos in these other areas of your life? I've been there, and I know what I'm talking about. But if you go for it, and you decide to do it, you know, if you put a check on absolutely, I'd like my life to change, reflect some of those qualities. Can I tell you, it's just too simple to point at culture. It's too easy of an answer. You can't just shake your fist at culture and go, hey, if I don't live here in LA County, West Extreme out here, I could move to Montana. Right? We all think of Montana. Some of us think of Colorado. We'll just get out there and live a safer, more softer, easy life. Is that true? Is the grass greener? No. Everywhere you go, our culture, everything indicates speed. And if you want to mail something, you don't go to the post office anymore. You go to who? Federal Express. Yeah. Some of you have phone service called Sprint. Yeah, okay. You wash your clothes with Dash. Some of you have bathing suits and you're sick if you wear these Speedos. Everything's fast. Fast, 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 fast. Right. But this is deeper in our culture. It's time to slow down. Our skit team's going to come back up here. It's time to slow down, look inside, diagnose what's broken in your soul, and make yes decisions. What makes me say yes to all these things that lead to complexity and a busy life? Let's check out part two. I put in your notes why I say yes to more. Why do we say yes to more? There's a reason, okay? Why do I say yes to all this stuff? I mean, I'm just thinking about it even in my own home. Could we simplify? There are a lot of reasons, but I'm going to go after one. I want to be loved. We say yes because we want to be loved. I was thinking of this week. If you were to write an autobiography about my life, that would be chapter one. I want to be loved. That'd be chapter one, okay? And chapter two would be how to bust your gut, okay? I'm just kidding. And all the rest of that. But chapter one would be, I want love. And that is really what, in many ways, no matter my woundedness, no matter how crazy needing healing my life has been, I have chased after this one. That might be why I keep some of those boxes. But I want to be loved. And some of you are thinking, well, duh, of course, who doesn't want to be loved? But what does wanting to be loved have to do with busyness? Anybody catch that? One word. Give it to me. Everything. Write it down. Everything. Many of our decisions that we make with the intent, you know, that this is going to bring me some type of value. You're looking for it. And if I say yes to that, it's going to bring me some appreciation. It's going to bring me a degree of love. Then I begin to believe this myth that others will love me and value me if I say yes to them and their agendas and their ideas and what they want from me. And all this yes keeps me busy, keeps me on the move. And I've got all these activities. My wife thinks I'm a successful man. It keeps me going after pursuits. What I'm suggesting is the reason we say yes to more is that yes, it leads to a perceived value of love, but it doesn't last long. Okay? The image that comes to mind I'd like to share with you is this image of doing things in order to get a sticker. Remember when you were little? Everybody wanted these kind of stickers. I don't mean the really good vinyl bumper stickers that never come off, but these, you know, the little ones. They put them in report cards and other things, send you home with one on your collar or whatever. But the image comes to mind. And let's say, for example, life's really, really busy. My son's got football practice. He's got a game. He's got a major postseason thing. I'm there for all of it. I go to all of it. I join the team, man. I'm a part of all of it. And someone says, hey, great job, Dad. Well done, man. All that stuff paid off, and they give me a sticker. That sticker, you know that kind right there. They don't stay on too long, do they? That specific type. I go through life, and I come into my neighborhood. I see my neighbors, as she was just saying there. They check me out because I have to get the golf cart they've got. I've got a nice new golf cart. Everybody's looking. I roll down my window, so to speak. I just kind of, hey, what's going on? My neighbor goes, nice golf cart. Here's a sticker. I say, thank you. That value, that love lasts about as long as the stickers do. And what I do is I go through life looking for more stickers. And you may go, Hobbs, listen, that is not me. This is a little redundant, and it's also a little ridiculous. Okay? I look at you, I say, I dare you to prove me wrong. Why do you say yes to more? Why do you overwork? Is overtime not enough? You've got to have double overtime. You don't understand. I'm doing this for my team. Why do you feel like you have to have it all? Why do you allow your children to be so busy and to do all this stuff? Why do you say yes to things you know you don't want to do and you're going to take up a lot of your time? Why do you overcommit? Why do you live to please other people? Because there's a broken piece of inside you that literally wants somebody to love you and give you some value. I have been there. I've got to hear that. And you believe that if you say yes to them, you'll get that. My observation of people, when I look at people and I like the way that they live and I look at their pace, they have time for conversations. Guess what? They also have time for others. They're not all hectic. They're not all hurried. They're not all rushed. And I look at people and go, what's the difference about them? I'd like to live my life like that. What do they have that I don't have? You know? What I find, and this is just my learning and understanding. I look at these people, and they have two things. And this is huge. They have a deep, deep understanding and security in who they are. And also, a deep understanding of God's unconditional love for them, no matter what. No matter what. I've been married to this woman for 25 years. Okay? More than anybody I ever met. I'm going to just tell you, more than anybody I've ever met, she's totally secure in who she is. She has this beautiful understanding of God's love for her. It's funny, but sometimes people literally misunderstand her. They do, because she's not out to impress anyone. She doesn't kiss up to anyone. And with Shelley, what you see is what you get. I really mean that. She doesn't care if you don't like her. She doesn't need stuff to make her feel better. She doesn't brag about getting more stickers. I guarantee you she does not struggle with saying no. Okay? She's done it a million times. She has no problem with saying no, even recently. Okay? Some of my sermons. She'd say, don't you dare put that picture up there. No, don't talk about that. Okay? Half of her bedroom's a mess. Yes, but she's not embarrassed about me talking about it. At least I hope not. And to be honest with you, she could care less. Her sense of love and value isn't based on what others are thinking of her. They're not. She has a deep security there. Plus, she knows that half of it's my junk and my crazy lifestyle anyway, so she's very secure in that even, okay? But I look at her and I just say, you know what? That's awesome, but that's the minority. That's not the majority. Majority of us in here, we need some help. We literally are saying yes to so many things. We're living frantic lives. Literally, I want to kind of help you and coach you and what you should say yes to. In your notes, declare war. Declare war on hurry. That's the only way I can use it. I'm a guy and I'm always in wildman mode around here. Just go after it. Just, you know, put the thing back in and go, that's it. I'm done. I like to hang out with guys like that, by the way. Okay? I do. I surround myself, for the most part, with guys that are passionate about something. They put that thing right back in the ground and say, that's it, I'm done. Doesn't mean they're perfect. But I need those guys in my life. Men, we need those guys in our life. Ladies, you need someone who has put a flag in and say, enough for my family is enough. I want these people. And be secure in those things. How do you declare war on hurry? The reason I use war is because it's got to be big. You can boldly slip out of this. Nobody is going to do this for you. You've got to do it for yourself. There's no time fairy. There's no going to, you know, extra 5 hours added to your day here. You've got to go after it and declare war. And if you've already made this life and it's out of control, yeah, you got to go back to your employer and sit down with them and go, I need to chat with you. If now's not the time, give me time. It's important to me. You've got to correct this. So what do you say yes to? A few things to think about. First, the unhealthiness of your pace. Okay? Andrew is all over the screen right now, just letting you know. Unhealthiness of the pace. That's the point of honesty. I've literally returned to the ocean. My wife knows that I can really be a jerk for two reasons. A, I'm not reading God's word. I'm not in it. Or B, a combination, I haven't been out in the ocean. The ocean is a place for me. Mountains are a place for her and hiking things. We love to do these things. Anyone else? Right? Okay, good. Yeah, you got to create a different pace by breaking free and getting to those things that draw out time with your Savior. Even C.S. Lewis, I heard, we heard Screwtape Letters quote earlier. C.S. Lewis used to leave Oxford at night and hike through a small wooded section, just go out of his way to hike through a small wooded section before he entered his home to debrief of the day. Okay? Wisdom says you've got to look at your pace. Something in your life may have become a little backwards and something out of control, trying to get more love. Maybe you don't want to do that, whatever, but you found yourself in this moment and you admit it, okay? Because if you don't, what happens over time is you start to believe a lie. You start to believe a lie, and here's the lie you begin to believe. You believe the lie that busyness is okay. Everyone's going to see me as busy. I'll get that promotion. Job security. Actually becomes busyness is good, and that complexity of having a complex life is a sign of success and achievement. And the more I produce, the busier I am, the better I am. Then you believe this lie, and this lie invades your life. And what you wind up doing in this case is you wind up justifying all of your decisions. And a decade goes by, and you hit your 30s and 40s and 50s, and all of a sudden, your foundation is built on this cracked lie. It's not solid. And it comes back and crashes in. I found myself doing this, saying this lie. I'm really busy right now, and here you go. Ready? And John knows that he's in the back. It's just a season. And after seven seasons, people aren't buying it around me anymore. I'm an idiot. The good thing about me being an idiot is it means I know you, okay? The reason I know about you is because I know about me. And for some of you, I'm just a couple of weeks ahead of you at doing this thing and trying to get it organized, and we believe this lie. Another illustration, actually, people that literally go out and they buy some crazy thing, you know? A few years back, literally before we moved here, a good friend of mine bought a Hummer. And they were pretty popular at the time. I'm like, what did you do? It's like, we need this for safety. And I'm like, well, then why are you driving it? Why are you driving not your wife and kids who's driving a prayer request around, and you're in the Hummer? And, you know, and it didn't even make sense. And now all of a sudden I'm like, hey, man, you want to play some ball? And he's like, no, I've got to work. Why? Got to make payments on my, yeah, and the insurance. And everything, the friendships just split up. Things got isolated. I'm like, come on. You know, I sit back and I'm like, this doesn't work. You're never home. It destroys marriages. I don't need to go there. You go there. Okay? Destroys marriages. Folks admit it. Say yes to things that are unhealthy. My life's out of control and headed that way. So what do you say yes to? Number two, drawing closer to God's values. These things are not in your notes. So I'm going to hum through some of them really quick here. They go fast. And quite honestly, some of God's values, just several. I want to give you one. The value of love. Draw closer to his love. Remind yourself, he loves me. And by the way, if you're visiting today or you're checking this whole God thing out, you're not sure, but you're investigating. You're just looking into it. I want to remind you that nothing you can do can make God love you anymore. He loves you. Come to him as you are. You let God's love invade your life. It has the power to change you in such a way that you won't go through life looking for stickers, because you'll be secure in God's love for you, and you can live your life in response to God's love. And get off that express boat and count every one of those Garibaldi. I usually hold people up in line. I'm wanting to make photos of those things. I'm like, I live here. They don't let you snorkel there, though. I wish they did. It's beautiful. Count it. Look at this verse, Ephesians 3. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you have the power to understand, as all of God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great, you'll never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Maybe you've heard this before. My question is, do you really believe? Do you really believe? If you want to know what somebody really believes about God's love, just look at their actions and their motivations. And quite honestly, to see how they receive God's love from others. Draw closer to the value of God's love, okay? The next one is depth. Literally, write down the value of depth. Deep. I'm wired to live life in a community. Right now, we got a lot of great volunteers helping out at this church. What in the world would we be thinking if all we did was show up just to volunteer on Sunday, right? Ministry can burn people out. Amen? Jesus doesn't burn people out. So what's the goal? We meet in the church and we meet in homes. What was the goal in Acts? They met in the temple and they met in homes. Depth, community. You're wired. Your DNA is to not isolate, but to literally look at someone and say, I want to know you. And I myself want to be fully known and loved. I want that. Relational depth. It requires time. It requires time. This is awesome. 1 Thessalonians 2. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Circle lives. Because you've become so dear to us. How do you become dear to somebody? Spend time with them. You say, Andrew, I'm too busy to be fully known, fully loved. And folks, you're just too busy. You're not living the way God created for you to live. I'm too busy to, what, be in a small group? Read a little deeper in Scripture? I'm a little too busy to hit up a Bible study, even though the source of life, the words of Jesus are right there to build your life. You can't fulfill the biblical one another's, right? To love one another, serve one another, encourage one another, bear one another's burdens, go through life together with others. You're just too busy then, okay? What's one of his values? The value of depth. It's huge. Another value you might write down is rest. And some of you are doing a darn good job of it right now, okay? Rest. Bothers me a little bit, but that's okay. You probably need it. The need for rest. It's wired into us. God wired me for the need of rest. My wife knows that I will go and then dead. There's no gradual. I literally am listening to someone and my eyes just close and I'm gone. Okay? Solar power, so to speak. God infused it into the center of the universe when he created it. He created the word. What is it called? On the seventh day he rested. We call it the, yeah, that you shall rest. I wired you to need rest. God rested. It's part of the whole universe, the way God created it. Isaiah 58. If you watch your step on the Sabbath and don't use my holy day for personal advantage, if you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, okay, God's holy day as a day of celebration, if you honor it by refusing business as usual, making money, running here, running there, then you'll be free to enjoy God. It's quite a tall order. That's what it says. You want to live free and enjoy God, you got to go there. I got to go there. When God walked the earth as Jesus, Jesus rested. Something has gone goofy where we think today rest is for weak people. Weak. I'm a doer. I'm an achiever. I make six figures. I live in LA County. I've got bills to pay. I don't have time to rest. Only weak people need rest. That's backwards, okay? Backwards thinking. As a matter of fact, needing rest and admitting you need rest is a sign of strength. It is. You're just fooling yourself if you don't think you need rest. You're just arrogantly, you know, cruising through this, and you need to drop your pride and go, I do need rest. My health and everyone around me is depending on this stuff. I need to do this for myself and for others. I'm just believing this lie. I just can keep going and never get rest. We need it, okay? Say yes to God's values. Then you say yes to God's values. All of them. Number three, say yes to what's really important. That's a fill-in. Say rest to what's really important. Say yes to this. It works like this, okay? First, I say yes to my pace is crazy. Then I spend a good portion of my life going after God's values. Then when I understand God's values and I embrace God's values, I say, now, when it comes to decision-making, and I've got some big ones here on the table, I'm going to say yes to what's most important. Because I now understand God's values, that He loves me. No matter what, He wants me to rest. He wants me to be with people and not quit coming to church and quit showing up for group stuff and quit coming, forgetting to go to dinners that you're being invited to, for gosh sakes. Now that I understand it, I'm going to say yes to what's important to me, because as you draw close to Him, you draw close to His values, you begin to learn and sense and feel the value. Point three, you make the choice. You make the choice. It's important. You've got to now decide whether you're going to arrange your life by those values or not. Got lots of personal stories. We'll have to go knee to knee. We'll have to go eye to eye. I'll hit the brew house with you anytime. We'll just talk about them. I can break it down for you. Personal things. Big things, okay? If you have something to write with, not your notes necessarily, but maybe one of the cards that you were given today, I'd like for you to take a moment. It doesn't have to be a big thing. But I'd like for literally to grab one of those cards in the chair in front of you or the pew in front of you, depending on where you're sit, and just write something very simple on here. What's one thing that you can do? Okay? What's one thing that you can do to correct this in your life? Write up one thing. Maybe something you add, or maybe something you take away from your schedule. Maybe it's a vacation. Maybe it's a day you need to just go fishing. Maybe it's a chance for you to go up to the interior to go hiking. But you need something that's going to change the course of your administrative day and put something else into perspective. I'm going to do something different. And when you leave here, I'd like for you to walk out the door, and there's an offering box to the left. I'd like for you to fold that. You don't have to put your name on it, okay? God knows your name. And put that in the box and say, here's my offering. You tracking with me? I'm not asking for anything else, but I'd love to know that you're giving an offering today of something that you're going to sacrifice or add to your plate that's going to bring health and simplifying your life and your relationship with God. Okay? Just fold it. And then this week, great verse. Put it on a 3x5 card. Hang it on your fridge. You're brushing your teeth, your mirror. Great verse. Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. Maybe just a slice every day. If our band can come up. Be still and know that I'm God. And my last thought is this. What we're talking about today is radical. People are already in a hurry around here. There's all kinds of stuff happening today. And I understand it's radical. It's going against the grain. It's putting up a big timeout sign in your life. It's letting off the gas pedal. It's radical. I understand that. To live this way is also radical. And to be radical is to be countercultural. Bottom line. Countercultural is to be like Jesus. To be like Him is to become the goal. That's your one last thought. It's your goal. Write it in. If you're going to be countercultural, you're going to be like Jesus, it's got to be a goal. You've got to set it. Let's pray. God, you know that this is a huge issue for so many of us, and I pray for myself and the people here today. We feel such a need to be loved that we've made bad decisions. We've messed up our lives by pursuing crazy wrong values. God, we need your help to say no to busyness so that we can say yes to you. So that we can say yes to your ways. So that we can say yes to your design. Make us more like you.
And God, we beg for your help. And may our lives be different as a result of being here today. In Jesus' name, amen.